Welcome to the first Montana U.S. House debate of 2016. Tonight we're broadcasting live from Fraser School on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, and I'm told by the tribes this is a first. Thank you to the Fraser School, the school board, and the Fort Peck tribes for inviting us for this debate. And thank you also to the candidates, Republican incumbent Ryan Zinke and Democratic challenger and state school superintendent Denise Juneau. Libertarian Mike Fellows was invited but declined. I'm the moderator, Jackie Yamanaka, news director at Yellowstone Public Radio. YPR is broadcasting this debate live. Welcome also to the listeners of Northern News Network and MTPR. Tonight's format is simple. Each candidate will be given an opening statement lasting no more than 1 minute. This is the only time notes will be allowed. Superintendent Juneau won the coin toss before the start of the debate and has opted to go second in opening remarks. Ms. Juneau will answer the first question. Questions will be asked by our panel, and I want to introduce them now. Grant Staffney is a council member of the Fort Peck Tribal Executive Board and a member of the Fraser School Board. Welcome. Sierra Stoneberg Holt is a biologist and rancher 50 miles south of Hinsdale in Southern Valley County. Welcome. So each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to the questions, and if the candidates exceed the 1 minute time limit, I will interrupt. I may ask a follow-up question or ask for clarification, and if that happens, the candidate will be given 30 seconds to respond. 30 seconds per candidate will be allowed for rebuttals after each round of questions. James Walling of the Glasgow Courier will keep time and select audience questions submitted in writing. And of course, we're welcome to have you, the audience, here at Fraser School. I will remind you, though, this is a debate, not a rally. Please hold your applause, cheering, heckling. It will not be tolerated. Tribal police and sheriff's deputies will escort out disruptive audience members. So with that, let's begin with our first opening statement. Congressman Zinke, you have 1 minute.
Well, thank you, Jackie. And as a veteran, I can tell you I'm proud to represent you in Washington, D.C. And I wouldn't do the job if I didn't think it was fixable. It is. We live in a great nation, and we live in an exciting time. But I do think that we let things go. And we all bear responsibility for it. As a veteran, yesterday I was at Fort Peck Dam looking at a veterans memorial. I recognize the contributions of the veterans and the tribes. I'm an adopted member of the Centerpoint to the Bell family. Michael Bell was a great student and a warrior. My family, you know, my mom was born in Glasgow, my dad was born in Glendive. I grew up in Whitefish. My grandfather helped build the Fort Peck Dam, as we all did. And I recognize that the East oftentimes gets ignored. But you're not alone. Montana gets ignored. I look forward to the debate.
Superintendent Juneau.
Well, I'm just really pleased to be here in Fraser, and thanks to the Yellowstone Public Radio, Glasgow Courier, and Farm Bureau for hosting. Fraser is a school I've had visited often to work with the school board, parents, and students to raise academic achievement and increase graduation rates. Also really proud to be here on the Fort Peck Reservation, where I've earned the endorsement of the tribe and have the full weight of the Assiniboine and Sioux Nation behind me in this election. Also want to just give a shout out to the veterans and thank you so much for your service. I am Denise Juneau. I am from Brownie, Montana on the Blackfeet Reservation. My story takes me from Head Start in Billings all the way to Harvard, from teaching in the classroom in Browning all the way to leading Montana's public schools. As your state superintendent, I have made job training a priority, increased graduation rates to historic highs, boosting our economy by millions, and want to take that ability to get things done to DC, to grow our economy, to fiercely protect our cherished public lands and make sure that this your U.S. representative puts Montana's people, land, and economy first.
Thank you both. Let's go now to our first round of questions. Grant Staffney will direct his first question to Superintendent Juneau.
Thank you. On July 21st of this year, gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte reportedly commented that the Montana Indian reservations hinder the free market and do not have consistent rule of law, respect of poverty, a lack of nepotism, the ability to keep the fruits of your labor, and cultural norm that celebrates success. Do you agree with Mr. Gianforte? Why or why not?
I absolutely disagree with the statements that were made. My opponent has also made denigrative comments along with Trump around Native people and Native lands. I stand with tribal sovereignty, tribal government sovereignty, tribal economic self-determination. I am from Blackfeet Reservation and enrolled member of the Mandan Hidatsa, have a lot of issues, have a particular knowledge about those areas and would really support tribes in whatever effort they have, whether that be Crow Coal, whether that be protecting the Badgetoo medicine on Blackfeet. There are so many things that need to happen. I just recently rolled out my Indian Country priorities, where we talked about economic development that needs to happen on reservations. I also did an Indian Country tour, visiting with every tribal government in the state, as well as visiting with community members. There's a meth epidemic that needs to be addressed. There's just a lot of issues, and we don't need our politicians and candidates for elected office denigrating American Indian communities. We need to work with them.
Congressman Zinke.
Well, I think my opponent has the same problem Hillary does. The truth. The truth is I've supported tribes. The truth is I support sovereignty. I don't think anyone has worked harder at trying to get the Blackfoot Water Compact done, about looking tribal cyber sovereignty, about recognizing the little shell that we're wronged, about introducing bills that will help domestic violence, about the water projects. I've been out here not because I'm your congressman, because I care. I've been out at your council, I've been out at your homes, I've been in the powwows, because I represent everyone in Montana. Montana has one congressman. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, we're all in this thing together. Is it is about America, is about Montana, and doing the right thing for the people.
Congressman Zinke has said denigrative comments about American Indians and its land. And, you know, when he stands with Trump behind those issues as well, it's a problem for elected officials. He's also voted to again supporting the Violence Against Women Act. He's voted to decrease funding for Indian Health Service. He's done a lot. He's not supported Indian Country. He will go out and say one thing and then look at his actions. He's conspired with a known hate group around the English-only law when Native people are trying to bring back their languages. We can do better. We can do better for Indian Country. We can do better for Montana.
30 seconds, Congressman Zinke.
Let's give an example. Public lands. I voted, I think, 17 times in support of public lands, never to transfer them in the Water Land Conservation Act. And yet, my opponent said I wanted to sell and transfer lands. That's false. The Billings Gazette said it was false. The public radio said it was false. Verbatim says it's false. And if we're going to have a debate, let's talk about truth.
Your time is up.
What I say, and I say what I mean.
We'll go now to round two for questions. Sierra Stoneberg-Holt to Congressman Zinke.
All right. Demonstrated by both survey and the ballot box, 75% of Valley County citizens have been proven to be opposed to the release of wild free-roaming bison in this county, although they do support tribally managed herds, which I want to separate. So what would you do to ensure that our county does not get an unmanaged herd of state or federal bison?
Well, I'm glad you separated tribal buffalo from regular buffalo. The issue is Washington. These decisions are being made by people who have never visited here. They don't know where the CMR is. And buffalo are livestock. And if you want to look at the damage that buffalo can do, look at Yellowstone Park. Go to Lamar Valley and look what happens when they try to do it from afar. Now, there's a way to do buffalo. But you got to make sure you have a NEPA. That's the environmental review to make sure we know what we're doing. And there are problems with brucellosis, with overgrazing, with critical habitat, none of which we have a say in. And we need a say. Montana needs a say in how we manage our lands. We need a say in how we manage our water and how we manage our life. If you're looking for solutions from Washington, D.C., you're not going to find any, because the solution is us. We need to step up.
Your time is up. Superintendent Juneau?
Well, I know the issue up here is controversial, and there is a real, you know, we value handing down our farmland and our ranch land. I grew up riding horses on our family ranch near Kiowa Camp, you know, learning, going to fish, and so I get the idea of our cherished family traditions and what we need to do with our land. As far as the deals that are going on up here, my understanding is that those are private land ownership, you know, that there are contracts that are being created between private landowners. I don't believe that the federal government has any place in inserting itself between those agreements between private landowners and what's buying. However, when there are bison that are, you know, on state and federal lands, they should follow the same rules as cattle grazing.
You want a 30-second rebuttal?
You know, I would say it is about public and private land. Public land is all of ours to enjoy for the benefit of all. Private land, you know, we have private rights, and there's a difference. But when your neighbor's property affects yours, then the arbitrary is the government. And buffalo, unless you have them contained, unless they're buffalo free, buffalo go where buffalo want to go. And an example is in the Yellowstone.
Your time is up. Thank you.
I would just stand by, you know, these are contracts that are being made between private landowners in this area. And I get that it's controversial, but again, I understand that it is really difficult at times to see land changes and what's happening in your area of the country. However, I don't feel the federal government has a place to insert itself into those negotiations between private landowners, that there are collaborative efforts going on around how that's going to work out. And at the end of the day, when they are grazing or running their the bison on state and federal lands, that those regulations should apply.
This next question is from the audience, and it will go to Superintendent Juneau. Around the world, and specifically in Syria, children are suffering from the effects of war. Would you support the resettlement of refugee women and children in Montana? You have 1 minute.
When we look at all these issues and these pockets of instability around the country and the things that are happening, you know, there are ways that we really need to look at it. And the framework really should be about making sure that American safety is first and foremost at any of these issues. We need to make sure that Americans are safe when we make these types of decisions. We also need to look at areas when we need to move forward, that we need to collaborate when we can, and we need to confront when we must. We have the best trained military. They need to be outfitted. We need to make sure they're taken care of when they come back. As far as the refugees coming to the United States, there is a 2-year minimum, or at least up to a 2-year vetting process that goes on, very thorough by several federal agencies. And when they come here, you know, to be resettled, we need to remember that we also have a humanitarian side. And that when we look, you know, I can't forget the picture of that baby floating up on shore, and that we need to remember that side of us as well.
Your time is up. Congressman Zinke.
It was my SAFE Act. I don't have a problem with refugees. I have a problem with non-vetted refugees. And just because they're in line 2 years doesn't mean they're vetted. In fact, it's the same question we asked the director of the FBI. Do you have a surety that they're here for the right reasons? His answer was no. So I introduced the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act would suspend the program until we have the three agencies look at a vetting program that makes sense. Yeah, I'm horrified at the pictures of the baby. But I can tell you I'm also horrified of what I've seen in war. Now, if I could say that the children and women weren't threats, it'd be a wonderful world. 4 out of 5 terrorist attacks by Boko Haram are conducted by children. I've had to engage children with weapons. It's unvetted refugees we have to worry about. The number one job of our country is to keep us safe. And I fought there so it would never come here.
I would say nobody in this room is talking about unvetted refugees. There is a process for vetting. It takes up to 2 years for a refugee to get into this country. It's done by multiple agencies. And, you know, there are votes like Congressman Zinke when he votes to not support the Department of Homeland Security. That's where the issues of American safety comes into play. We need to make sure that we're doing the job we need and that every decision makes sure that we are making sure that Americans are safe.
Would you like 30 seconds?
That's why it's called the SAFE Act. It's actually the FBI, the Homeland, and the State Department would all agree with a vetting system that gives some assurity. That's why it was called the SAFE Act. So just simply waiting in line without a database doesn't give any insurance that people aren't here for the wrong reasons. And when ISIS says it, that we are coming after you, and oh, by the way, the first person that was decapitated in this country was from Great Falls, Montana.
Your time
is up. We are at war.
We're now going back to a panel question. Grant Staffney has a question for Congressman Zinke.
Yes. Indian country ranks at the bottom of every social and economic indicator: income, access to health care, dropout rates, suicide, drug and alcohol addiction, cancer rates, diabetes, and heart diseases, disease rates, life expectancy. Since being elected to office, what specifically have you done to help to improve conditions of Indian country?
What is a saying? Oniapa, which is means desperation. I get it. I'm here a lot. I see the desperation. So what have I done under Congress? I prioritized making sure that they're recognized the Little Show. I prioritized the Blackfeet Water Compact. I prioritized this the Northern Plains Water Compact, or the funding to make sure that the Dry Plains isn't dry anymore. I've done everything I can. But I can tell you, Congress does not have the power you may think it does. It's supposed to be an equal and separate branch of government, and it's not. So you look at BIA, the best thing to do to BIA is make sure the resources go in the front line, not some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. You're a better choice about how to dispose of money and priorities. You know the people. Washington, D.C. doesn't. And it's not just the BIA. It's across the board almost every agency.
Superintendent Juneau.
Well, I can tell you what Congressman Zinke has not done. He's not stepped up and supported Indian country. He will say one thing. He comes around during election time. He needs to be here all the time. There are hurting people. I have visited every tribal government. I have provided some Indian country priorities for this congressional campaign. As your state superintendent, I have visited schools across Indian country, working with them shoulder to shoulder with school boards, parents, and students to increase academic achievement and raise graduation rates. And they're doing a great job. They just need support from elected officials. Congressman Zinke has taken bad votes for Indian country. He has conspired with a known hate group to not to put an English-only law forward that would denigrate native languages. These tribes are trying to lift themselves up and revitalize and maintain their native languages and need to be supported. So when I'm your congresswoman, I will make sure that Indian country is a priority, just like the rest of Montana, rural Montana, urban Montana, every corner of Montana.
Your time is up.
Indians need a voice.
Rebuttal?
My opponent has the same problem again that Hillary does. The truth doesn't matter. Yes, I voted for English only and U.S. government. For U.S. government documents, it should be English only. Your native language, your culture is important to me, and I've supported it, and I will continue to support it. Graduation rates are up. Great job. Test scores are down. 41% of our kids, 41% of our kids are proficient in basic math and science. That means 6 out of 10 are not.
Rebuttal?
Yeah, as your next congresswoman, I'm going to look out for everybody in Montana. That includes Indian country. As your state superintendent, I have increased graduation rates to historic highs, and that's boosted our economy by millions. At the same time, we've raised academic standards across the board. That means when students are graduating and walking across this stage, they're receiving a diploma. That means they are better prepared than ever before for college, for the military, and for careers. And I'm proud of the work that's going on in our public education system.
Our next question comes from Sierra Stoneberg-Holtz to Superintendent Juneau.
Montana ranchers have water rights that were established on BLM land before the Bureau of Land Management ever existed. The BLM should be helping us to protect our rights, but instead it is claiming our rights for themselves. How would you fix this?
Well, there's a lot to be said around water rights, and it was Mark Twain who said it best, I think, that water's for fighting. And so that happens a lot in our state. I am a big believer in collaborative efforts and bringing people to the table. It is how I went forward with Graduation Matters Montana. We see big challenges. With Montana know-how and Montana ingenuity and our ability to sit across the table and have civil discourse around these issues, that's really where it needs to start. And that's what I see playing out here in rural Montana, is the issues of bison, the issues of water, the issues that we are all dealing with around private land ownership. We need to come together to figure out a way forward, and that's happening all across the state. There are collaborative efforts happening everywhere in this state around timber, around wild land, about all these issues, and around graduation rates. And so I have a record of doing that, of pulling people together, and I think there's a way through.
Congressman Zinke.
Well, that's why I was proud to sponsor the State and Tribal Accountability Act and Sovereignty Act, for a reason, is we need a seat at the table. As when BLM makes these decisions, or the Forest Service, or one of the government agencies, it doesn't involve us. I can tell you, it doesn't have Montana's best interest at heart. I fight every day because people don't even know where Montana is. You go through the halls of Washington, D.C., and you ask where Wolf Point, where Poplar, or Fort Kipp, or even Billings is. They can't tell you where it is for a reason, because they're not from here, and they don't share our values a lot of times. So as one congressman, I fight for Montana, everyone. Doesn't matter to me whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't matter. What matters to me is you're Montanan and you share our values of sovereignty and make sure you have a family behind it.
Would you like a rebuttal?
Sure. I sometimes wonder if Congressman Zinke knows where Montana is. He spends most of his time traveling around, not looking out for the best interests of this state. He is more interested in getting on 24-hour news cycle, being out stumping for Trump. He missed critical votes so that he could be stumping for Trump that matter to Montana. That's not the kind of leadership we need in Congress. We need a better path. We need someone who's going to put Montana's people, land, and economy first.
Again, truth matters. So my voting record is there. I didn't miss a vote. My opponent said I missed a critical vote. It was not a critical vote. It was actually voted on the day before. But truth should matter. If we're going to talk about issues, then let's talk about issues. Rather than talk about she said or he said, we deserve that in Montana. And there's one thing that Montanans do is, number one, we value honesty and truth.
Your time is up. Congressman Zinke, this question is for you. It is from the audience. Congressman, vets recently came out frustrated with your connection to Mr. Trump and his comments about Gold Star families. Why haven't you scolded him more?
Well, I don't agree with Mr. Trump on a lot of things he says. But to me, it's about Hillary. And Hillary's personal to me. I was in Tuzla when Hillary lied about being under sniper fire. And I also had two friends that died in Benghazi that were SEALs. And she lied. She lied to the American public on emails. They were classified. And any veteran in here, if you did the same thing, you'd be in prison. So I don't agree with Mr. Trump on a lot of issues. But I do not agree with corruption and lying. And our country deserves better.
Well, what this is about is Congressman Zinke has sided with a guy who has denigrated Gold Star families, and he's not asked him to apologize. That's why veterans are calling him out. He, you know, the guy that he's standing behind has been called out by 50 national security defense or national security experts as not being fit for commander-in-chief. And yet, Congressman Zinke, it must be a very lonely place as the last man standing behind Trump that is throwing divisive language across this country, who is trying to motivate fear, motivate votes by fear. And I think we can do better than that. I think we deserve a congressperson who's actually going to put Montana's people, land, and economy first. That's not currently happening, and I will do that when I'm elected.
Well, again, truth. I did criticize both Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. Mrs. Clinton lied to Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith's son died in Benghazi. It was inappropriate of any official to criticize a Golden Star mother, regardless of religion. And I fought alongside with Catholics and Muslims and women. To me, it doesn't matter. What matters is the person and the merit of the individual.
Your time is up.
Criticism is not the same as standing up for veterans in Montana and asking Mr. Trump to apologize. Congressman Zinke has not done that. That's what I call on him to do. I think that's what Montana veterans across the state are asking him to do as well, and he's not shown the leadership to do that.
We're now going to go back to the panel. Grant Staffney has a question for Superintendent Juneau.
What is your position on continued funding for the Assiniboine and Sioux Rural Water Project?
As I said earlier, I'm from Indian Country. I have a really particular view around Indian Country. I dabbled in federal Indian law for a little while, and I get that there is a U.S. Constitution and the treaty rights that go with that create this unique political relationship between the federal government and tribes. And I'm always going to stand up for tribes when it comes to their treaty rights around health, safety, and education. This is one of those areas where the federal government needs to live up to its promises and really work with the tribe to make sure that it gets done. And I'm always going to be on that side of making sure that we're advocating for Montana tribes, the needs that are here. You know, I put forward some Indian Country priorities, and part of that is going to always be standing behind tribes, making sure that we're providing sovereignty and economic self-determination. And if that's part of what the Fort Peck tribe needs, I'm going to be an advocate for that.
I met with you multiple times, and we were successful getting it through and funded. Not to the level we wanted, but it's moving forward. Water projects across Montana are important. You have the St. Mary's Bypass, which I think was built in 1906. If that severs, then Milk River is going to be Milk Creek. Then we have the Yellowstone. When you add up our water projects in Montana, it's about $500 million plus. So water is important in Montana, but a lot of what we're seeing is projects that were built when my grandfather was here in the 30s, and we see it. So we got to move ahead, and we got to prioritize water, we got to prioritize infrastructure, and we'll talk about parks, I'm sure, but the park infrastructure is in trouble too.
Would you like a rebuttal?
Okay. You know, I'm going to be on the side of the Fort Peck tribes as they move forward with this project and several others. I mean, I remember coming up to Fort Peck and there was a lot of economic development going on. I know the tribe's thinking about its future, where it's going to go, and I'm going to be on the side of that. I remember ANS Industries and what was happening here, and people were working and there were buses going. There are paths forward for that. There are ways to work with tribes from the federal government level, from Congress. That's currently not happening. When I'm elected, I'll make sure that happens.
You have water and also natural resources across the board. Coal's important. What happens if Colstrip leaves? Well, price of electricity will go about 22%. What does that mean? That means we won't be competitive in Butte mines. We won't be competitive in refineries. We won't be competitive in manufacturing anything in Montana. And if you were to take coal out and replace it with, say, wind, that's 200 square miles of wind farms. Where are you going to put that? I don't think around Bozeman.
Your time is up. We're going to go back to the panel. Our next question comes from Sierra Stoneberg-Holt to Congressman Zinke.
In 2001, the Antiquities Act of 1906 was used to create a national monument in the Missouri Breaks against the will of the Montanans who actually lived there and resolutions by the Montana House and Senate. Wyoming and Alaska are exempt from the Antiquities Act. What will you do to ensure that Montanans are also exempted?
You know, the Antiquities Act has been abused. I was in Yellowstone, and I was looking at this arch, the Teddy Roosevelt Arch. It's amazing that the arch has two sides. It has a left side and a right side coming together for greater purpose, for the benefit and enjoyment of the public. And yet, our president decided by himself to form national parks across the country. And the irony of it is that Teddy Roosevelt said, created by Congress. This is what happens when you have an executive that doesn't follow the law, that decides that he is judge and jury. It takes both sides, Congress as representative, executive, and it takes us as Montanans. And this is, again, back to the core problem, is that we, the people, need to take a stand and hold people accountable. We matter out here. But by the time it gets to Washington, D.C., it's just a number, and the face has been removed. And that's my job.
Superintendent Juneau.
You know, we have a rich history here in Montana, one that we all cherish. We have cowboys, we have Indians, we have Lewis and Clark and Sakakawea. There are places that are protected right now and that we cherish our history. However, I do think that I'm not in favor of a land grab. I'm not in favor of the federal government stepping in and just saying that this is the way it's going to be. We need to work with the people who are on the ground, the landowners, the people that have a stake in what's going to happen. We need to bring them together and make sure we have that conversation. But, you know, I do bring a unique perspective as an American Indian. I know what land grabs can do, and I am opposed to that.
Yeah, you know, again, on land grabs, the Antiquities Act was intended to set aside those special places that have great meaning to our country in perpetuity. It wasn't intended to grab millions of acres, and it's been abused. And unfortunately, when it gets abused, who gets hurt? The people that live on the land or adjacent to the land. And this again goes back to, we need to hold our people that are elected accountable. And law does matter.
No, it sounds like Congressman Zinke agrees with me. I'm good.
Okay. The next question comes from the audience, and it's for Superintendent Juneau. If you've done so well with education, why are the reservations still struggling in all areas? You have 1 minute.
You know, I am proud of Montana's public schools, and like I said, I have an initiative called Schools of Promise. And this is one of the places, Fraser, Montana, one of our original Schools of Promise. And I led this effort to work with communities, to work with the school district, to work with parents, and work with students, to bring people together, to address mental health needs of students, everyday trauma that they're coming to school with, deal with the high poverty communities, and just to make sure that everybody's working together. And they've done great. You know, we can look at data in our Schools of Promise and see that it's been successful, that it is a national model. It's used across the country, and we go around and we present in states all across America about the unique, innovative work that I am doing through Schools of Promise on Indian reservations. I'm proud of that work. We now have 8 communities that are engaged in that work. It's a model that the Congress should pick up and make sure that we are funding it and pushing it forward across the country, and I'll be an advocate for that.
Well, let me ask the audience. Do you think it's successful? Do you think your kids are getting the best education you can get? Do you think a 41%?
Right there, they said yes.
Okay, great. You're wearing a Denise Juneau shirt, I'm glad. But I don't think a 41% proficiency rate in math or science is something to run a victory lap around. That means 6 out of 10 kids are not proficient in our schools. And I'm an advocate for public schools. But how you make it better is you empower the school board. OPI has over 1,000 people in it. 1,000. Would it make a difference to Fraser to have 10 people of those, more teachers? Would it make a difference? Yeah, it would. And so it's about empowering the school board to make the right decisions. You know how best on your children. You know where they spend time. And I was with a narcotics officer outside in the parking lot.
Your time
you
is
know
open.
What he said.
The Schools of Promise has worked with school boards. That's exactly what we do. We empower the school boards to do the work that they need to do. And OPI has 180 staff. I don't know where you come up with 1,000. I was just in Great Falls this morning for their convocation, the beginning of the year kickoff event, with hundreds of teachers who were in that building, who are celebrating the start of a new school year, celebrating the work that they've been doing. And I think that's happening all across the state. I'm proud of our Montana public education system. And I challenge Congressman Zinke to step into a classroom anywhere in this state and see what's going on.
You know, I have. I've stepped in a lot of classrooms. And what I see is great promise. But you're right. Graduation rates are up. And you could be congratulated for that.
Thank you.
But the same token, our test scores are down. 50% of the kids going into community colleges are not proficient, need remediation. 25% going into four universities. I think also vocation. I'm a son of a plumber that happens to be a congressman. So I think vocation's pretty good. Welding, plumbing, and those things need to be emphasized too.
We're going to go back to the panel. Our next question is from Grant Staffney to Congressman Zinke.
Yes. What is your position on Obamacare? And do you support relief for tribes from large employer mandate in the Affordable Care Act?
Obamacare has been a disaster, unmitigated disaster. Although I admit the goal was noble, better access, better health care, affordability. What's happened is none of that. When a Montana family has to spend $1,200 a month and the deductibles are $13,000 a year and you can't get an appointment, you tell me where that's been successful. A lot of people criticize the VA. Indian Health Services is a superstar compared to the VA. I've been to Lame Deer. I've looked at the lines. And again, I think the solution is more flexibility at the front line. From a military commander, you want to make a difference? Then give the resources of those fighting the battle to the front line. Don't spend the resources in the back with the bureaucracy at the headquarters. Put the resources in the front line. Make sure the doctor can make the decision. If he needs to transport a patient, then he should have the authority to do it, not ask someone in a desk sitting at some
bureau. Your
time
is up.
The Affordable Care Act has actually done a few good things. Is it need fixing? Yes. And there are ways to do that. Congressman Zinke and his partners in Congress want to throw it out. There are ways to fix it. You know, every time they take a vote to do away with the Affordable Care Act, they vote to defund Indian Health Service. That's the wrong path to take. You know, what I hear right now is that, you know, it's done a good job as far as covering people with pre-existing conditions. 70,000 more Montanans are eligible for health care. How great is that? Those are good things that are a result of that Affordable Care Act. I do hear are the rising high costs of what's we need to fix that, and the problem with that is we left the insurance companies in the driver's seat. Fixable. Prescription drug costs. People are now making choices between insulin, they're putting food on the table, or their rent. It's the wrong way to go. We can actually put regulations around there that help people get life-saving medicines in this state.
Well, again, my opponent needs to listen to the whole sentence. Repeal and replace. Can we do it better? Yes, because rural medicine is a lot different than New York City. In our communities, smaller communities, if you don't have a bank, a school, and a hospital or a clinic, you're not a vibrant community. And you see that across Montana. So can we do it better? Absolutely. But Obamacare as it exists was jammed through, no Montana, and you see it.
Your time is up.
I would just say, Congressman Zinke, do the leadership then. Your party's in charge. You're on those committees. You guys, if you have a plan, put it forward and pass it.
Well,
that's what Congress needs is leadership right now. Leadership from Montana. That's not currently happening. When I'm elected, I'm going to provide the leadership to get things fixed.
We'll go back to a panel question. Our next question comes from Sierra Stoneberg-Holt to Superintendent Juneau.
The state of Montana has committed millions of dollars to saving sage grouse despite general agreement that sage grouse populations in Montana are not in danger. How will you reform the Endangered Species Act so that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can't use it to coerce our state into misusing our wildlife management resources?
I actually think the sage grouse plan was done right. It was done with people and stakeholders sitting at the table in a collaborative effort. The things that Montanans are known for, sitting across the table, having civil discourse, thinking things through, and finding a path through. As a result, we don't have a federal government plan, we have a state plan. And I think that's the way to get things done. Montanans have the answer. I see it every day as I travel around the state. I see collaborative efforts going on around timber. I see collaborative efforts going around graduation rates. I see collaborative efforts going on. And what we need to do is have a congressperson who's actually gonna step up and support those collaborative efforts. We don't need a top-down approach, as Congressman Zinke's taken some votes, particularly around public lands, to put in place a politically appointed board that's not accountable to the public. There are good efforts going on in this state. Our congressperson should actually be stepping up and supporting those efforts. And I think that's what's happening with the sage grouse. That's how I see it.
Well, on this issue, I'm not sure we live in the same state. Because the sage grouse and the BLM, yes, it didn't get listed, but it got listed by regulation just the same. And you look at it, and I asked Mr. Cornsey, the BLM director. We both agreed that the sage grouse numbers somewhere in Montana were down and somewhere were up. I asked him, what's the number we should strive to? What's the number we should manage it to? You know what? He can't give you a number because it's not about the sage grouse, it's about control. Same thing with the waters of the U.S. Who manages our water better? Us or some bureaucrat? Who manages the sage grouse issue? If it was just a Montana plan, great. We still abide by NEPA. We still abide by the environmental laws. But it should have input. And I don't know about collaboration, because every time Montana on forest fires, we lead the nation in collaborative efforts. We also lead on lawsuits. And I have a bill that passed bipartisan to the House that we're waiting for the Senate to pick up.
There are great collaborative. I see them every day. I travel this state as superintendent. I travel the state as your congressional candidate, and I see great collaborative efforts going on. There's a great collaborative going on right now over in Lincoln, where people are coming together to, you know, there's snowmobilers at the table, recreation users, there are outdoor sports people engaged in this, there are the agencies that are necessary, and Congressman Zinke's not supported that effort. That's what our congressperson needs to do, is step up and support the good work that's happening in Montana.
The Resilient Federal Forest Act. I wish you would read it, because actually, on your five-point plan about Forest Service, that was one of them, on our side. It innovates and advocates for collaboration. It adjusts the FEMA. Yeah, true, you don't have forest fires out here, but last year we spent $2 billion fighting forest fires. Our Forest Service alone has 71 million acres of dead and dying timber.
Your time is up. We now go to an audience question, and it is directed to Congressman Zinke. The question is, what is your specific plan to fix the VA, the Veterans Administration? You have 1 minute.
It was interesting too. My opponent said I wanted to privatize VA. So I brought the chair of the House Veterans Affairs to clarify it. No one's talking about privatizing VA. What we're talking about is giving a veteran a choice. Veterans should not die in line waiting for service. And so if you can't get an appointment, then you should have an immediate access to appointments somewhere else out in town. I also sponsored, by the way, making sure it's available to women. There are more women serving our country today than any other before, and yet our VA has not done a pivot to address women's health issues. On the VA, push the decision down to the front line. Let our director in Montana, first of all, we have to stabilize it, because everyone's an acting or an intern, no one is permanent. So stabilize it, give the resources to the front line so they can make a decision. And if a veteran's waiting in line and can't get an appointment, then he should be able to go outside and make an appointment by himself.
Superintendent Juneau?
You know, I have visited veterans across this state. I have a lot of veterans in my family as well. I have cousins who served, grandpas who served, uncles who served, and I think every Montanan has a story like that. This is personal to all of us, these veterans' issues. And, you know, I have visited with vets across the state who thought Congressman Zinke would do a better job, and he hasn't. He's spoken to them in small groups and said that they shouldn't become dependent on the government when he accepts disability payments every month himself. Those are the type of hypocritical kind of actions that we need to get over. You know, I visited the VA in Billings recently, and I saw good people trying to really deliver health care in a good way. What we need to do is make sure that there's a plan out there right now called the Veterans First Act that is bipartisan in Congress. We need to push it through. It provides accountability for the VA, provides personnel sort of flexibility, and provides flexible funding so that they can actually engage in a better way of doing things, that they can provide services to aging veterans. So that's one bill that's currently working its way through Congress that can be supported.
Congressman Zinke, your rebuttal.
Well, the Veterans First Act, the VFW opposes it, the American Legion opposes it, because where'd they get the money? They got the money from Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans. So how about this? Rather than create a new program, why don't we fix the ones we have? You know, choice is hated across Montana. We didn't have to go to choice. We put $10 billion in it because the program before it didn't work, because it wasn't being executed right.
Your time is up.
The Veterans First Act is a bipartisan act that does fix parts of what needs to happen. There need to be some accountability. It provides that, provides flexible funding to provide services to aging veterans. We can do better in Congress. When I'm there, I'm going to make sure that veterans are looked out for, that I support them in their health care needs, their job training needs, their housing needs, and we can get the job done.
We're going to go back to the panel. Our next question comes from Grant Staffney to Superintendent Juneau.
Thank you. President Obama recently signed into law the Indian Trust Asset Reform Act. What is your position on the Office of Special Trustee for American Indians and the Sunset Clause?
Well, I think the Office of Special Trustee has done this job, and that there have been the buyback programs that are going on, and you know, there's a lot of issues in Indian country right now. I think it should be, I guess, extended as far as necessary, but it is an extra layer of bureaucracy that we could probably eventually get away done with, put it back where it belongs, and make sure that those payments get, that the land back program continues, and that these things are put in place so tribes can get the job done that they need to.
Well, again, the Tribal and State Sovereignty Act put back the tribal voice, which is important. And another layer of bureaucracy isn't going to fix it, folks. It's not going to fix it. Adding more bureaucracy to a bureaucracy that we have now is not a solution. I'll go back to, if we want to make this reservation work, if you want a better school, you want better opportunity, then the decision should be yours and the federal government should get out of the way. There's treaties that have not been lived up to. And nowhere does a treaty say that you're managed, where we're going to hold everything and we're going to make you ask over and over again. I can tell you in my experience is that the bureaucracy on an Indian reservation far exceeds off-reservation, almost across the board on almost every category. And yet, you're sovereign. If sovereignty doesn't mean anything,
your time is up.
That's a problem.
I do believe tribal sovereignty needs to be looked out for, and I am a proponent of tribal government sovereignty, tribal economic self-determination. And when I work with the tribes as your next congresswoman, I'm going to make sure that those issues are taken to DC and fought for and advocated for, and that we actually get the job done. I won't be like Congressman Zinke, who goes back and says one thing, shows up on the reservation during election time, and goes to D.C. and and doesn't support the Violence Against Women Act, doesn't support the Indian Health Service, doesn't support a lot of things that tribes need, and I'll be your advocate.
Your time is up. Congressman Zinke.
Goes back to truth. My voting record is clear. I'll post it on everything. You should look at it. But when my opponent says, he did this, he did that, That's not true. Same problem Hillary has, which she supports. And I don't agree with everything that Donald Trump says, and I don't agree with everything that Hillary says. I agree with very little what Hillary says. But it's not about Donald Trump or Hillary. It's about us.
Your time is up. Our next panel question comes from Sierra Stoneberg-Holt to Congressman Zinke.
The Land and Water Conservation Fund is used primarily for expanding the federal estate, which removes Montanans from Montana, Montana land from Montana tax rolls, increases the 30% of Montana that's already federally controlled, increases the $20 billion federal land management debt, and increases our $19.2 trillion national debt. Why are we spending money we don't have to buy land that we can't afford to take care of?
Well, actually, I'm a great supporter of the Land and Water Conservation Act. I think it needs to be reformed. The state should have a say in where it goes. But overall, it's been enormously successful providing access. You know, Montanans have a different relationship with their public lands than some of our neighbors. You know, we revere our public land. We revere having access and being able to use public land. And so when you have roads being shut off and lack of access, it affects us all. So the Land Water Conservation Act has been good for Montana. Does it need to be reformed? Yeah, it does. We need a more collaborative approach. We need to make sure that local voice has a say. But I can tell you in Montana, it has been overwhelmingly successful. And I've supported over and over again. Matter of fact, I'm the only candidate of the three of our representatives that when it was going to leave, that at least my vote extended it for 3 years. Otherwise, the Land Water Conservation Act would have failed.
Your time is over.
You know, I am a huge advocate for the Land Water Conservation Fund. We, as Montanans, cherish our public outdoors. We like to hike and bike and fish and hunt and get outside. And as one of your state land board members, I've actually increased access to public lands in the state by tens of thousands of acres. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of the work that's going on in this state around that public access area. The Land Water Conservation Fund plays a role in that. Congressman Zinke's actually not supported increased funding for the LWCF. I announced my public lands priorities at a state park, Spring Meadow Lake, that where families go out and recreate, Mount Jumbo in Missoula, Lake Elmo in Billings, all LWCF projects. When Congressman Zinke doesn't show the leadership to get that fully funded, his party's in charge, he's on those committees, he says he supports it, and then he doesn't provide the leadership to get it done, and we can do better.
Truth. Once again, truth. The truth is the Land Water Conservation Act does need to be reformed. The truth, the only reason why it's existing today is because I voted for it and protected it. I voted 17 times to make sure our land is not transferred or sold and make sure the Land Water Conservation is there. Does it need to be reformed? Absolutely. Are you satisfied with it? I know you're not. And I know there's a lot of people that are not. So there's a difference between killing something and reforming it.
Your time is up.
I just go back. I was like, Congressman Zinke has not shown the leadership on those areas. He has voted to not support funding for the LWCF. He's voted for a bloated budget when he stepped forward and did that. There were a lot of things that he needs to be providing leadership on that he's not. This is one of those areas. People expect better out of our congressperson. These are areas where people and families get out and recreate and enjoy, and we need to make sure we're supporting that and fully funding it.
Your time is up. The next question is an audience question, and it's directed to Superintendent Juneau first. The Montana legislature is required to pass a balanced budget. Do you think Congress should pass a balanced budget? What programs would you cut if you needed to balance a budget?
Our debt in this country is way too high. And there are a lot of areas that we can look to cut duplicative efforts that are happening at the federal level. I run a state agency. I run the largest part of the state budget. And we do a fantastic job of making sure that those funds are distributed. So I get budgeting. Congressman Zinke's actually said that he wouldn't take a paycheck if they didn't pass a balanced budget. They haven't. He hasn't given up his paycheck yet. And so it's those types of promises that we need to make sure our congressperson is fulfilling. That's not being done. I'll just tell you one area. Corporate loopholes right now. Corporations in this country have a ton of ways to get out of taxes. They, when they ship jobs overseas and those goods are produced, they don't have to pay taxes on those goods until they come back to this country. Anything over $1 million that's paid to a CEO is tax-free for the corporations. If we cut corporate tax loops in this country, we would get $600 billion, with a B, dollars into the coffers over 10 years. And those are areas we need to look at.
Congressman Zinke.
The same old formula, tax and spend. So what are we going to cut? Well, Denise Juneau brought it up. Her budget at OPI increased about 65% in the last 10 years. So there wasn't much cut there. Your Congress cut about $800 billion on discretionary. Our budget is ballooning for a reason. You have the non-discretionary and discretionary side. The benefit side has gone up. The discretionary side, our military budgets, have gone down. And the only way to get out of this is we're going to have to grow the economy. You can't cut enough to balance the budget. And we've made promises in this country to the elderly, to our education system. The only way out of here is grow the economy. And do what America always has done best. Innovate. Think out of the box. And the only way to grow the economy is get the government out of the way so the one-size-fits-all model
Your time is up.
Doesn't stifle innovation.
We have 4 minutes remaining. I'm going to go ahead and let you do rebuttals.
Sure. So I do have a great budget. And Congressman Zinke, when he was a state legislator, actually voted for those statutory increases. Those are monies that go to school, and so thank you, sir, for making sure that schools get funding. We do have a problem with the national deficit. We have a problem with the budget. We can do better. I've just proposed a $600 billion fix over 10 years. We need leadership on those issues so that we can actually get some things done.
Taxes. Raising taxes is not the answer. You think it's easy being an American business or a mom and pop at home with what you spend on compliance, over-compliance, over-zealousness? There's business people here. Tell me how much time you would spend selling and doing what you do rather than being trying to be compliant or regulations that make no sense here. So it's not taxing more. Is we need to make sure we innovate and regulate less.
Your time is up. Let's go to our last question. It's for Congressman Zinke from Grant Staffney.
Thank you. I kind of saved the most important one for last. Meth is an epidemic not only in Indian country, but throughout the U.S. If elected, what will you do to combat this?
You know, we talked about border security. But no one ever talks about border the reservations. When I talk to the council, how many BIA agents are there? Not a whole lot. Talk to your school. I talked to a child out there when I was giving popsicles. I said, no, how many kids do meth? I just asked that question. It says, oh, about 90% do some sort of drugs. You see it in your communities. It's wrong. And our communities are suffering. Washington is not going to fix this problem. We need to give you resources here, clinics here, so you don't send someone away outside of the tribal network. We need education here, because it is crippling not only your tribe, but tribes across Montana and our nation. I think this is an equal threat to ISIS. Because it is killing us from within.
Your time is up.
I was just here recently on the Fort Peck Reservation where I participated in an anti-meth march organized by young people. And I was really proud to do that. On my Indian Country priorities I just rolled out, we talked about the meth epidemic going on, not just in this state, but in Indian Country, and its isolated ways and now it needs to be. Safety. We need to provide more law enforcement. We need to make sure tribal court systems can actually prosecute the crimes that are going on within their boundaries, even if that's non-Indians. We need to take the Violence Against Women Act approach. You know, when I look at this race, it really is about leadership and who can best do the job for Montana. We have a current congressman and Congressman Zinke who's not providing that leadership. Who's more interested in looking out for himself and getting on the 24-hour news cycle and going out and stumping from Trump than actually doing the job that's necessary for Montana. We need somebody who's actually gotten some things done for our state, who has a record of accomplishment. I want to be that person. I want to take that record of accomplishment to D.C. and put Montana's people, land, and economy first. I ask for your vote in November.
I want to just thank the candidates. We are out of time. You've been listening to a live U.S. House debate on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. Thank you very much to the Fraser School, the Fort Peck Tribes, of course, the candidates, and this wonderful community in northeastern Montana. The next debate is Thursday at MSU Billings. This has been a production of YPR and made possible with assistance from Nemont Telecommunications. Good night.
Thank you.